The NBA bubble, like the regular season, it's pretty much over now. We know which 8 teams are moving on in the East. We know which 9 teams are going to be there in the West, including a play-in game between Memphis and Portland. And to chat about it, we're joined now by longtime NBAer, and we've had him on before. He's always great to have on here, is Carlos Boozer. How you doing, Carlos?
Guys, I'm doing well. How you guys doing? Everybody safe and sound?
Yeah, safe and sound. We're ecstatic up here, man. The Raptors are setting franchise records for winning percentages the year after Kawhi and Danny Green left. I mean, we've been watching it all year because they just kept chipping away. They go 7-1 in the bubble in the regular season. Only Phoenix had a better stat line than that. But as a guy outside of the Toronto bubble, how do you look at the Raptors? I mean, can you put it into perspective how they've managed to be so good and so consistent considering all the injuries and the fact that Kawhi and Danny Green left?
Yeah, actually, it's very, very surprising. I mean, you think, you know, like Kawhi, who gives you guys your championship the 1 year that he's there, and then you guys come back and you guys are just as successful. I mean, people forget that Toronto's always had a really good basketball team. I mean, always. I can't even think of a time when you guys weren't good. So there's always been that playoff atmosphere, tough guys that know how to play basketball. You've always had good coaches in place. Whatever system you guys have won, you guys have always went to the playoffs. So it's not as surprising to me, but you just, from a basketball fan outside of Toronto, nobody expected you guys to do this good. We thought you guys maybe would drop off a little bit, maybe be the 5th, 6th, 7th seed. But no, you guys have got great players. Guys have stepped up. You know, Van Fleet's been incredible. I really do think Lowry's a phenomenal leader, one of the more pit bull kind of throwback point guards that we have in the NBA, who's done a great job leading that team. And then you guys have not only just your starters, but your bench is great as well. You guys don't get a big drop-off when you go to your bench. So they could really be the dark horse of the East. I know everybody's talking about Milwaukee. Everybody's talking about Boston because they have that positionless basketball they have over there. But Toronto is definitely a team that's going to be a super tough out come playoff time on Monday.
What do you make of the Phoenix Suns wheeling down there to Florida and going 8-0 and then just going home? Isn't that kind of bizarre to think about? Like, the whole idea was to go down there, prove something, you might get some kind of action, but they're just 8-0 and out.
It's weird. It makes you wonder what happened during the rest of the year. You know, down there in the bubble, in the $1 billion bubble down there in Disney, there's no distractions, right? You're in the same gym. The same couple of courts. You got nothing but basketball. You got your teammates. I think they just now started letting other family members come to the bubble, I believe, is what I heard. But for the most part, you just have you and your guys, you know, the wagons are circled, so to speak, and it's just you guys playing against whoever you're playing against. Not that many fans. You got the virtual fans. So it makes you wonder what was going on with this team. Maybe they had injuries. Maybe they had some dysfunction. I have no idea. But down in the bubble, woo, they probably were the hottest team in the bubble. Obviously, they're going to miss the playoffs because they had such a poor season before the bubble, but during the bubble, they were the hottest team.
Yeah, you knew what the rules were going in, so I guess you can't ultimately complain, but I would think if I'm on that Suns team, I'm leaving the bubble thinking, what was the point, man? Like,
yeah.
I went,
you should not
eight,
get
we went
yelled
8
at.
No. We went 8-0,
yeah,
and we didn't even get
better
to,
than that.
Yeah, like it's like you got to give us a chance to get into this play-in tournament or so. Even if we got to win 3 in a row beyond this or something, because that was kind of the story of the bubble was what Phoenix was doing. But on top of that, I guess were the other two teams who did end up qualifying, and that would be Portland and Memphis. And Portland's just got to win one of the next two games. If they win tomorrow, they're in. Even if they lose tomorrow, if they win on Sunday, they're still in. Memphis has got to go 2-0 to get in. But it feels like it's kind of all about Damian Lillard right now and the performances that he's been put on. He went off for 42 points last night. Where does he rank for you in terms of, you know, scary opponents? If you're the Lakers and the idea of playing a guy like Damian Lillard and he is red hot right now, do you think that scares LeBron and company, or how do you feel about that?
No, I think Dame has been the hottest player in the bubble. I mean, he, you know, had a mishap missing a couple of free throws against the Clippers, and he's been on a tear ever since. Not to mention, he's really been on a tear all season. He had a great season this year, despite his team having some struggles with injuries and trying to make the playoffs and what have you. But in the bubble, I mean, 61, backs it up with a 51, in a must-win game, backs it up with a 42, comes up with a huge steal at the end of that game to give them an even greater chance to seal that victory. And then McCollum does a great job on LeVert to get a stop right there on the setback fadeaway. Just Portland's had to win multiple games to get in. They had some luck. Obviously, Memphis had to lose some games. They did that, and they gave them a great chance to get in. These playoff play-in games are going to be very interesting come tomorrow, and if we have another one on Sunday. But if I'm the Lakers, they're sitting right where they want to be at. They got one of the most talented rosters. They got two of the best players on the planet. And is Dame a scary threat? Yes. Has LeBron seen scary threats? Yeah. You know, he played against the Golden State Warriors in their dynasty for many years, back after back after back. So he's prepared for a Dame Lillard. Now, the rest of those guys, Carmelo, you know, Hassan Whiteside, Nurkic is back, C.J. McCollum, the rest of that crew, I mean, Gary Trent Jr. is playing terrific as well. Those are the guys that's going to have to step up in a major, major way if they're going to be David and Goliath and knock down the number one seed in the Lakers. I do think they have a chance, but it's a very small chance. The Lakers are by far the favorite. LeBron being an MVP candidate. Anthony Davis should be an MVP candidate, but definitely a defensive player of the year candidate. They have the upper hand in that series.
With longtime NBAer Carlos Boozer, LeBron James wrapping up another remarkable season and a first for him. He led the league in assists, which he's never done before, and it's his 17th season, which is just incredible. You know him. You play with him. You've been following him his whole career. But can you put that into perspective for us? 17 years into the league, 35 years old, and he just accomplished something he's never accomplished before. And it's a pretty incredible stat. Like, everyone's chasing an assist stat, and he got it.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. You think about him being – this is the thing that always surprised me about LeBron. Well, I remember when we got him in Cleveland his rookie year, we all knew right away that his biggest asset that he loved to do was pass the ball. Like, he loved making his teammates better, finding guys in rhythm, on time, on target, making the game easier for his guys. Yet he's third all-time in the history of NBA basketball in scoring. And then, right. and then this year, where everybody's saying, "Oh, you were so dominant in the East because the East is weaker. You went to the finals 8-9 years in a row, whatever it was, only because it's the East." Then he goes to the West. He's hurt last year, so they missed the playoffs towards the end of that season. And this year, he jumps up to number. He got the number one team in the West, and he's leading the NBA in assists. Like, he's an anomaly. I mean, I don't know. I think the only other guy I can think of that's similar to him that played this great at this late in his career. I mean, Karl Malone was very good. Kareem was very good. Michael was pretty good. I mean, he's on a bad team with the Wizards when he came back, but he was still averaging over 20 points a game as a 40-year-old, which is pretty impressive. Kobe was very successful towards the end. Didn't get a ring, but he was still scoring a lot of points. And to be able to lead the league in assists when there's so many good passers, so many good playmakers in the NBA, very, very, very great feat that he's doing.
Incredible. Yeah, that really is incredible. Getting back to the East, the Raptors, we know, are going to play Brooklyn. They should roll. I mean, Brooklyn's – I'll give them a lot of credit. They got a makeshift roster, and they've shown up in the bubble, and they perform pretty well with a winning record. But the Raptors are expected to roll. Milwaukee is expected to roll and should. Beyond that, though, once you get past Toronto and Milwaukee, is there a series that you're focused on, or maybe one of the top-end teams that you think could be in trouble in the first round, whether it's Boston or Miami?
I'm going to be honest. The series that I'm looking forward to is that Miami versus Indiana series. There was so much drama between T.J. Warren and my boy Jimmy Buckets. and I just want to see how that all plays out, because T.J. Warren, with the exception of Dame Lillard, was probably the hottest player in the bubble until they played the Miami Heat, and he had like 12 points. But he was averaging like 45 points before that. Then he ran into Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy shut that thing down to about 12 points, and his average dropped dramatically. So I want to see how it plays out over the course of the series. I remember the quotes that Jimmy said back in the season, and I want to see that. I just love rivalries like that when guys go at it, when they talk a little noise to each other. That's what made the NBA so much fun when I got in the NBA. People would talk to you, then they would go back it up. I'm looking forward to that series. I do, for you guys with Toronto, the best player on the floor is going to be Pascal Siakam, and he's obviously jumped up into a major role this year. He's been played phenomenal. I think he learned a lot from Kawhi, and he's kind of jumped into that next level of being a superstar, being able to carry a team. He'll be the best player on the floor in that series that you guys have against Brooklyn. So I completely expect Toronto to roll and win that series. And also, I feel like Boston, nobody's really talking about Boston. Mm-hmm. They have a bunch of similar guys across the board that are like 6'7", 6'8", can do multiple things, guard multiple positions. And I'm curious to see how they do come postseason this year. But yeah, I think that the series I'm looking forward to the most would have to be that Miami-Indiana series.
Yeah, that's going to be quality.
Trash talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that as well. He is longtime NBAer Carlos Boozer. You can check out his clothing line, holdthatclothing.com. It's always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
There's Carlos Boozer, longtime NBAer, stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, I love it.
His kid was
holding his kid.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we've all been there before. I was on Landsberg and Koliakovo last week, and my 15-month-old was chasing me around the house. Like, I was trying to get away from her to talk with them, and then when they would start talking, I'd put the phone on mute and be like, shh, okay, where's mommy? Where are we going here?
No, they don't care, dude. No. They don't care.
Oh, you text yesterday going, what the hell is that noise? And it was my kid banging on the door.
Oh, you had all kinds of
my
kid
office
issues
door.
Running around. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see you, like, you were trying to be so
waving
discreet.
Waving at the kid.
But I could tell you were hitting the volume so no one could hear you, and you were like, get out of this office now!
I have a lock on the door, but I've got a glass so you can see through the door, like a window, and I could see these two little eyes, this little face in there. I was like, get the hell out of here, you know, like we're trying to focus.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Steph was and Estella. Like
he was probably
know.
Sleeping on the couch with a bag of chips.
Oh no!
It's
I
been
actually,
5 months, man. There's
I got to the bottom of it, floating in the pool. Yeah.
Oh, just out there having a swim. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Just having a grand old time. Yeah. Well, listen, I had when you guys were off a few weeks ago. My oldest came down into the office and she got some screen time.
I saw that. I was watching the show. She came right in, no problem, and just owned it
right in there. And once she saw that she was on, she wasn't leaving. I had to give her the point, like go sit over there. And then she came back, and now she wants to come down every day. I'm like, okay, that's enough. I don't think so, but when finally putting this to bed and going back in, we'll bring all the kids in for like the final segment or something.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with it. Yeah, exactly.
Because we're all at home. I mean, there's no, they're all up, they're upstairs. Like my family's up there. I don't know what the hell they're doing for 3 hours. I go up and poke my head up every couple of breaks, and half the time they're there, half the time they're outside. Who knows? But thanks again to Carlos Boozer. Again, the Raptors taking on Brooklyn. Their series beginning on Monday.